So today we're, I guess, beginning 18, chapter 18, finished previous chapter last time. Before we do that, I wanted to go back. We had a discussion a few days ago about Lord Varaha's picking up Bhudevi, and it's all of, as far as I know, it's all of Bhumandala, which goes out pretty far. Anyway, so I want to read to you, there's in 5:20:38, there's a long, there's a purport in which Prabhupada puts in a long quotation from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, which Prabhupada doesn't translate. He says the technical terms used in astronomical calculations given by the Jyotir Veda are difficult to translate to English. Therefore, to satisfy the readers, we may include the exact Sanskrit statement by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which records exact calculations regarding universal affairs. So, and it's just there in Sanskrit. So here we have a translation of that by Kupramidana. And basically what he's giving is the whole measurement of Bhumandala in lakhs and crores of yojanas. We have to translate that. But I'm just going to read the last section. Doing all these calculations, he says, therefore, since there is an empty space of 17 lakh yojanas on all sides, see, there's a gap. I mentioned there's a gap. I couldn't remember the number, but it's 17 lakh yojanas, means 1,700,000 yojanas, that Aloka Varsha ends and Bhumandala begins. So there's that much space all the way around. He says, therefore, since there's an empty space present of 17 lakh yojanas on all sides, it is feasible that the earth is held by Sheshanaga and kept steady by the elephants of the directions. Remember those are the four elephants? They balance it. Like gyroscopes.
A question with that sitting on his head above the ocean. I mean, above the ocean.
Yeah, he's lying on the ocean.
He's lying on the
ocean. Yeah, he's the bedstead and Garbhalakshmi Vishnu. And I assume that the same Anantashesha at the bottom is that same Shesha who also has his own form. Yeah, I have to look again at that chapters and see where they say he is. But anyway, so that old drawing had that Anantashesha with. Anyway, so he says otherwise, if we gave a different explanation, making Bhumandala extend 50 crores, it would be stuck to the shell of the universe. And these ideas, that is of Sheshanaga and the elephants keeping the earth in place, would be meaningless. It would also not have been feasible in the Chakshusha Manvantara for the earth to suddenly become submerged and then be lifted by Sri Varahadev. We should take these and similar facts into consideration. That's what he says. So somehow the whole Bhumandala, which is 17 lakhs of the ocean, is short to the edge, falls down into the ocean, since the ocean is midpoint, you know, you're higher up, you're higher up anyway, and then somehow or other he lifts it. I don't know. There's a lot of questions you have to, and what happens to all the subterranean heavenly planets? And, you know, I mean, there's many questions to be asked. But anyway, that's the size of the gap. 1,700,000 yojanas.
Set of Buddha says this is the base of the Mandala, so that might be the Belt Mountain that you pictured there.
When did this one come out?
That's an old one.
That's an old one, yeah. Yeah. One of those little green dots floating over the tops of it. Oh, those are the trees. No, I don't think he made.
The last sentence of the caption is the best of the base.
Yeah, sure. But the Keshavachara, Keshavachara Atsala Mountains go up is almost the top of Meru, according to Prabhupada. This is, yeah, I remember this now. His presentation with Back to Godhead Magnus published now has been dismissed as a speculation. Here. Do we have any more of these? You were here, you can get one of these little hand, color handouts here.
We have one more and some of these.
Okay, you have one of them. Back there, it's the hard shirt. You got it.
No, he has one.
He has one. The other one we don't have any more of. Okay. So we've been through, we're now in the section of the residents of various varshas offering prayers, and we've looked at the prayers there.
In Towers of
Light. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Okay, we have Lord Shiva praying to Shankarshana in Delivered to Varsha, and now we go due east to the second, which is the Varsha called Bhadra, Bhadrashva Varsha, where, just as Lord Shiva worshipped the Lord as Sankarshan, so here in Bhadrashva, a devotee known as Bhadrashava worships Hayashirsha. The texts always call the Lord Hayashirsha. Prabhupada always translates, puts it as Hayagriva. Same person. Shirsha means head. Horse head, Haya. Shirsha's horse head. But for some reason or other, Prabhupada always likes Hayagriva, horse neck. but the same Lord, this incarnation, called so now here there's some things that I don't know and have not yet been able to find out.
It's not ready.
It's still not ready, huh?
Now it is.
No.
The power.
Turn it on, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just recycling.
Yeah, you can talk about that. You
just stand down. Oh, I see.
So now you have to wait for the one.
I got to wait.
Okay.
We don't know much from the Bhagavatam about Hayagriva Ahaya Shusha. It's just one verse in the whole Bhagavatam that mentions here, and Prabhupada doesn't discuss him very much. He's also mentioned in one of these prayers. And I don't know what the connection is, if any, but the name Bhadra Ashva means auspicious horse. Ashva is like an Ashvamedha Yajna. There are many names for horses in Sanskrit. This is one of them. So it means auspicious horse. And so the personage there, the devotee who's worshipping him, is Bhadra Shrava. Bhadra, also a Bhadra, but Shrava means the fame of auspicious fields. Fame is auspicious or something. Shrava. That's his name. Bhadra Shrava is worshipping him. I cannot find anything about Bhadra Shrava. It's mentioned here, Dharma Sutta, he's the son of Dharmaraj, which is the same as Yamaraj. But there's nothing more. The Puranic Encyclopedia did not shed any light on this. Not mentioned anywhere else in the Bhagavatam. So, and I don't know what. See, in all these varshas, there's a link, some pastime of connection between the form of the Lord, the Ishta Devata, and the devotee. Nrisimhadeva is being worshipped by Prahlad, Ramachandra is being worshipped by Hanuman, Prajumna or Kamadeva is being worshipped by Lakshmi, much avatars being worshipped by Vaivatsvata Manu. So there's all stories about these two form of the Lord and this person. But this one, I don't know the story. The other one I don't know the story about is in Hiranyavarsha. No, yes, in Hiranyavarsha. This is the middle one in the north. Kurma is being worshipped by Aryama. And that's another. Aryama is the famous lord of the planet of trees. He's on Pitri Loka, the Bhagavad Gita. He's on Pitri Loka, and of course when he's also mentioned that when Yamaraj, in the form of Vadura, was on vacation from his duties of overseeing the punishment of sinners, Aryama took his place. And that's all I know about Aryama. And again, the Puranic Encyclopedia doesn't shed any further light on that. But so I don't know that. So here's two research questions, if anybody hits upon something. about the relationship between Aryama and Kurma avatar, and also this relationship here between Bhadrashrava and Hayashirsha or Hayagriva. Because all I know now is what's in this text. The text says, here we go. Bhadrashrava, the son of Dharmaraj, rules the tract of land known as Bhadrashva, Varsha. Sankarsan is worshipped by Shiva and Ilavrita. Bhadrashrava, accompanied by his intimate servants and all the residents of the land, worship the plenary experience of
Vasudeva, known as Hayashirsha. Hayashirsha is, here's one place where Prabhupada keeps the name. Hayashirsha is very dear to the devotees, and he is the director of all religious principles. Dharma Mayi is the word that's being used for him. So that's another connection. He's Dharma Mayi, he's the form of Dharma. Remember, he saves the Vedas. So he's Dharma Mayi, which Prabhupada translates here as the director of all religious principles. And of course, Bhadrashrava is the son of Dharmaraj. So we see some connection in this particular form of the. So now here's the. They worship him in. It says here, Parnameya Samadhina Sandindakpaya Idam Avigrinantaha. The Prabhupada says, chant the following prayers with careful pronunciation. Now, here's a little link to the one place where Hayashirsha is mentioned in scheduled incarnations with specific functions, 2.7.11, where it says, the Lord has appeared as the Hayagriva. See, again, the Sanskrit is Hayashirsha, but Prabhupada uses the word Hayagriva. Incarnation and the sacrifice performed by me, this is Brahma who's speaking. He is the personified sacrifice. And the hue of his body is golden. So he's Yajna Purush, or is associated with sacrifice. Remember another meaning of the term Dharma. It is really the directions for sacrifice. What specific meaning in terms of sacrifice. His golden hue, he's Chandramaya, his personified Vedic hymns, Makka Maya, personified sacrifices, Devatatma, the soul of super soul of all the demigods, personified sacrifice, personified Vedas as well, personified. When he breathed, all the sweet sounds of the Vedic hymns came out of his nostrils. That's the story.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that from his breathing comes the Vedas. Is he referring to his Hayagriva?
Don't know. May come from a lot of people's breathings. A lot of form of breathing. It's what he says here. In other places, it is in the form of Hayagriva that he rescued the he killed Madhu and Kaitava, the name of Krishna's Madhusudana, and this refers to this killing of the Madhu deity. However, we'll see in the this here, this refers to at the end of each kalpa, when the demon Anjnana, Ajnana, people will say, yeah, it's actually not right. That's a Bengali, but if you want to say Sanskrit, Anjnana, steals the Vedic knowledge. Lord Hayagriva appears and preserves it. So here it refers to the demon stealing the Vedic knowledge. So I don't know if Bhadrashrava had anything to do with that particular pastime or what, but there we have it. And then here, again, he starts with the Upanishadic mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmayatma Vishodhanaya Namaha.
It is the closed quotation mark. Quotation mark. Yes. With careful pronunciation.
Earlier it was said that the root of the process are the sons of Priyavrata.
Yes, this is a son of Priyavrata. The ruler. But this is so. Bhadrashva, which is the name of the Varsha, that was the son. But who's worshipping him is someone else. Bhadrashrava.
And he's the son of
Dharmaraj. He's the son of Dharmaraj. So the son after whom the Varsha is named was the son named, the eponymous son. The eponymous means one after whom, one who gives their name to something. So the eponymous son is Bhadrashva. All the Varshas took them to have the names of the sons of Agnidra, except of course for Bharadvarsha, which got the name from a later descendant, Bharata.
So what was it known before it was named Bharata?
No, it had another name. But it wasn't Nabhi Varsha. I can't remember what it is, but there was another. It's given what it was known as before somewhere. I don't remember what it was. Yeah.
It says Asi Devata, the super soul of Damodar. So what super soul appears in the demon?
Same super soul, yeah.
Did Kaya Griva appear
in the 50
soul?
What?
Did
Kaya Griva appear in
the
50 soul? Oh, I don't know. I don't, even with the Devatas, he is.
Because it's mentioned in
Sri Lata.
Super soul.
He's just addressed that. Of course, I say he's addressed that way. Super soul. Yeah.
You are.
That's right. But it's not that particular form appears in the hearts of the devotees.
Isn't there somewhere in one of Prabhupada's third books where he says that formerly this planet was called Ilavrita Varsha, and then later on it was called Bharat Varsha? I'm sure that's there.
We can look and see.
Yeah.
But Ilavrita Varsha is of course the name of another Varsha.
Yeah.
But it also had another name, and I don't know where it is right now. Maybe I can. I don't know if I can find it. I put a pop-up note somewhere with it referring to that. Because I don't know where it is, but it wasn't Ilavrita Varsha where it says. There's a verse actually that says back in an earlier chapter where it talks about the sons of Agnidra, that Bhadrashva was later named after Rishabhadev's oldest son. And before it took the name, it had another name, and it wasn't Nabhi was the son who got this Varsha. Nabhi, Nabhi. Nabhi.
Just look up, see if you can find Ilavrita Varsha.
Well, there's a lot of Ilavritas.
It's in 3:18:19 purport.
Yeah, what does he say?
Here the earth planet is called Ila. The earth was formerly known as Ilavrita Varsha, and when Mara first moved here, it was called Bharata Varsha.
Yep. That's really far up because somewhere else. Well, now I got to find it, don't I? Okay, turn this off for a minute. This is where we get into, man. This is like this is where you go nuts, you know, the whole thing. Where did I put that note? He does. It's in. It's
So that's back in the third. Yeah. Keep a note of where that is, okay?
318, 19, and then again in a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. He also says
Let me see, we'll go to this.
And another lecture, Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter.
That's not it.
Again in Bhagavad Gita 6:43.
Yeah, okay.
And several other times, other religions.
I can show you more confusing stuff that Bob puts. Like here's the place where Prabhupada said, just to show you. Arjuna was reading, this was in 74. He's reading Bhagavatam. Maharaj Pritchard was formerly the emperor of all the lands ruled by his grandfather, but still he had to establish the supremacy. But this island might have changed the name because there are so many islands. Just as Java Island and Lakshadweep Island, very small islands. Similarly, this Meru is another island. Not only these small islands, but according to Vedic culture, each planet is called island. Each planet, just like this planet, earthly planet, is called Jambudweep. Why is it called Dweep? Dweep means island, because actually it is an island of the air. The Prabhupada also says this in Bhagavatam. Just like there are so many islands in the sea, similarly this vast air, outer space, all these planets are floating like island. Therefore they're called island, Dweepa, Jambu Dweepa. Here in the earthly planet long ago, it is said in the Vedic literature, Sapta Dweepa. Right, the seven ring islands. Sapta means seven, so this earthly planet is of seven Dweepas, seven islands. The two Americas, North and South, they are islands. Africa, one island. And combined, Australia and Europe, another island. The two poles, two islands. Australia, another island. You see, Sapta Dweepa. So they say they discovered America, but this discovery was long, long, many, many millions of years ago it was known. Where is this discovery? Where is the discovery there? Poor fund of knowledge. So this is the basis, this and other remarks are the basis for Sariputta's idea that many features are mapped on the same thing. I mean, it really is based on something that's there in Prabhupada. You know, I have to tell you that. I mean, anyway, that's another thing. I'm just looking for this place where the other name of Bhargavarsha, maybe I shouldn't spend so much time on this. And but in the text it gives another name. that formerly was known before Lord Parshad. In one of these chapters in the third canto, believe me, it does. That's not to say it wasn't also called Ilavrita Varsha, but that's what it says. Anyway, so here's this prayer. Let's chant this prayer, okay? Huh? Oh, the screen, I turned it off. Yeah, I was looking around. Okay. Why didn't it do that?
There you go.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let's chant this one. Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmayatma.
Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmayatma.
Vishodhanaya Namaha.
Vishodhanaya Namaha.
There it is. The Upanishadic. This is a short one. Do you find it?
Yeah, it's the introduction of chapter 7. It's Ajahnava. Ajanaba,
that's right. Yeah, that's it's in the text in chapter 7 too.
It's in the text too.
Ajanaba, it says before it was. And I don't know why. Because it was Nabhi who was the son who got this Varsha. So here there's another place.
It would be interesting to see if Prabhupada like all the references to Ilavrita Varsha, what years Prabhupada made those comments.
Because
we know when he translated the fifth canto, and maybe once he got into the fifth canto, he changed it after that. How many would be just interesting to see?
Well, just let me show you something while we were looking.
So it was named after Maharaj Nabi, who said
in the first part. Yeah, but it's called
Ajanaba.
Yeah.
So it's the reign of King Nabi.
Yeah. There's a statement. Oh, here it is. Yeah, this is what I'm looking for. Okay, that was a lecture from 74. Now, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here's the verse. This is where Mahaprabhu himself is speaking to Sanatana Goswami and talking about the manifestations of the Lord. Within the universe, the Lord is situated in different spiritual manifestations. These are situated on 7 islands in 9 sections. Thus, their pastimes are going on. So, then Prabhupada says here, purport, these 7 islands are mentioned in the Siddhanta Shiromani, from the Siddhantic text. And Prabhupada quotes the text. These 7 islands, Dvipas, are known as, and here's just a list of names, Jambu, Shaka, Shamali, Kusha, Kramsha, Gomeda, Plaksha, and Puskara. We will go through these in chapter 20. The ring islands. Then Prabhupada says, these planets are called Dvipas. Outer space is like an ocean of air. Just as there are islands in the watery ocean, these planets in the ocean of space are called Dvipas, or islands in outer space. So here he identifies them with planets. Also it's in the text, it's not just what he said in 74 in Jumna's reading. And then, so now he's defining khandas, because it says here, he's just defined, the text says 7 islands, so now he's defining Dvipa. And now he's defining its 9 sections, khandas. And the khandas are, and here he gives the 9 varshas. These are different parts of Jambudvipa. Valley between 2 mountains called a khanda or varsha. So that's the definition of a varsha. So that's another place that Prabhupada does this, islands in outer space. that are represented is being Sariputta. In his book, Sariputta identifies Bhumandala with the plane of the ecliptic. The ecliptic being the plane of the sun. The earth is relative to the sun. The earth is tilted. So, or the sun is tilted relative. You know, do it. So the sun. That's why sometimes it's in the north and sometimes in the south. So there's a celestial equator. If you take the equator and project it out, that's one thing. But this is the ecliptic. And the sun, and so in the plane of the ecliptic are actually, according to astronomy, when you look out in the sky, that's where the planets are. The sun, the earth, and all their planets are pretty much in the same plane. But of course, in the picture that we have in the fifth canto, these ring islands are out this way, and then they put the grahas above, going up in the other direction, at a right angle to it. So I don't understand about that. But then in another book, Sariputta, taking the islands and their lake oceans. The distances of theirs, he shows that if you take a geocentric orbit of the planet, when the planets are in a geocentric orbit, if you put Earth at the center and you see the planets, they have this thing where they go retrograde. They seem to go forward and backwards. And that's depicted as loops. They're loops. And so you take the size of those loops, and then you pretty much, it really lines up with these islands and the oceans. So, and then Sariputta calculates what's the chance mathematically that this correlation could be accident, and it's very, very low. So it's as though, according to Sariputta, that people knew how the distances of the planets from the Earth a very long time ago, and expressed it in these distances of that. That's what he says.
It's, what's the name of that book?
Cosmology.
Yeah, Didi Cosmology. He has a whole thing in there about this. I have no idea. Well, again, you know, it's the same kind of thing with the same picture of things. And he has lots of stuff in here about the Earth as a globe, and these different statements in there too, also, and so on. Here he's got more drawings of the map. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out about this. There's definitely a case. If you want to say you're following Prabhupada, then you say, here's what Prabhupada said. He said it, and there it is. And this is one of those places. Okay. Let's go back to the to the text. So. Here we are. So this is there. So here we're in Barsha. We will never be able to visit, apparently. So he's leading to the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart. This is Atma Vishoda. Vishoda. Atma Vishodhana, the purifier of the conditioned souls. So that's the short one. And then, in the purport, a prophet's almost carrying over from the previous purport how they don't know if they're being controlled and punished at every step, and how what one needs to do actually to be happy. So then, after this prayer, then there's four more prayers. On that little outline sheet, I say the wrong number. I said there's, I think they say there's six metrical prayers, but there's four. So then there's these metrical prayers. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property, and if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with acquired money. Actually, how wonderful it is, Bhagavat Vichistisam, the pastimes of the Lord, doesn't exactly show up in the translation, but in the purport, Prabhupada says, thus Shukadeva Goswami says, how wonderful are the pastimes of material happiness transacted by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's really the translation there. See, what Prabhupada does is he gives us several translations of the verse. There's one in the word for word, there's one in the running translation, and a lot of times in the purport you'll find several. Each of them looking at a different aspect. So here's this, how wonderful are the pastimes. So in other words, how wonderful is really the Lord who's making these conditioned souls get absorbed in material life and try to so if the Lord, the Prophet asks the question, if the Lord is doing this, why? Materialistic persons want to commit all kinds of sinful acts, but without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can do anything. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? Here you should, this is a place to see that the Supreme Lord does not want any living being to act sinfully. And he begs him, through his good conscience, through your sense of right or wrong, to refrain from sin. But when someone insists on acting sinfully, the Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to ask, act at his own risk. So that's how it happens. So one interesting thing here is in the material world, things are always happening that Krishna doesn't want. Yet they happen anyway. And they can only happen because Krishna makes it happen. Although he doesn't want it to happen, the living entity has got his freedom. He insists. And so Krishna lets him. So you see in these prayers so far, really the prayers are all about the people in the material world and their difficulties and problems. The earlier one, the Shankarsana, who is the Lord of the false ego. So here we are in the material world. And now the contemplation on people acting sinfully by the will of the Lord, even though he doesn't want them to. I'm still trying to figure out if there's a meaningful pattern in the sequence of these different prayers and the different personalities. Here, this is an interesting remark. Sons always outlive their fathers in other planetary systems and other lands in this universe, especially on Swargaloka. However, on this planet, sons often dies before his father. And then the materialistic father wants to enjoy the property of the son. Do not hear the danger of impending death. That's the famous verse of Maharaj Yudhisthira. The wonderful thing is, although day after day, so many people are going to the abode of Yamaraj, still people are trying to make a permanent situation here in the world. The next one. Again, this is a showing respect for the illusory energy of the Lord. So people who are Vedic scholars, they say Vedanti, they say authoritatively. Whenever it says they say, it means, you know, not just anybody. But the scholars say, and the learned, the kavya, the kavis are the scholars, that they see, pashyanti, they see in trance. They have adhyatma vidha, they have realized knowledge. They have vispaschita, they're learned scholars. They see the truth of this world, but still they become illusioned. Even though they're so advanced, they become bewildered by your illusory energy. And again, this is your wonderful pastime. And I understand how your illusory energy works to keep everybody bewildered. Prabhupada just thinks of this. No one should think of himself. No one should think of himself as a liberated person immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regular principles. And then he uses a little inattention will create havoc. And then he cites Maharaj Bharata. The Lord is prepared to excuse his devotee, but if he takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposely commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down in the clutches of the illusory energy. So then the next, this is again a theme that shows up in the previous one also. Although you are detached from creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. They've just been doing that in a very strong way in the past verses. he's illusioning everybody, and he's keeping everybody in Maya, and he's giving all the sinners facility to sin. So he's detached, but they are attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, because your inconceivable energies qualify you to be the cause of all causes, the active principle in everything, even though you're untouched by these activities. Separated from everything, thus we can realize everything is happening by your inconceivable energies. And then the final text, see, this one, sometimes he does it. See, here's the verse, and the itti is stuck on the end. If you chant this verse, you don't really chant the itti because it doesn't fit the meter. That's a closed quotation mark. So once in a while, it's not consistent, but once in a while, in the Upanishadic prayer, we see they put the itti, and in some places they don't bother. as here at the list of all the end of all the metrical prayers, they put the iti, which again functions as enclosing those in their quotation mark. It's a little confusing in Sanskrit because iti puts everything in before it in quotation marks, like, oh, Vasudeva Sarvam iti. That means they say Vasudeva Sarvam, that's in quotation marks. You see, that's what it means. Sa Mahatma Sadurlabaha. So those people, they say Vasudeva Sarvam. Bahunam Jamane Ante Gyanavam Mam Prapajite Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. It's written to be, they say Vasudeva Sarvam. Vasudeva is everything, which means, on the one side, there is nothing but Krishna, Vasudeva is everything, or it's, Vasudeva is everything to me, in an emotional sense. Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha is a rare great Mahatma who says this. Anyway, the problem in Sanskrit is sometimes you don't know where it begins, the quotation. Our quotation marks from the beginning and the end of Sanskrit, it just isn't the end. So you have to kind of determine from the context when it started. And then, so this final prayer, now he refers to a pastime. The Lord, unfortunately it doesn't all fit on the screen, I should probably somehow get rid of this, but he says Vedan, the Vedas at the Yuga Ante, at the end of the millennium, by Tamasa, the demon of ignorance personified. Prabhupada says in the introduction, Ajna, Ajnana, but here it's Tamasa. He stole away the Vedas and put them in Rasatala, one of the lower planets there. And then the Lord assumed Nri Taranga Vigraha. Taranga is another name for a horse. Tura means swift goer, a swift goer, Turanga. Goes back. Ga is going, and Turanga.
Yeah,
Ganga, yeah, swift goer, yes. This year, Turanga refers to Tura. Tura is a horse. And then when you say Turanga, you have to stick the N in there for. Is a pronunciation. Tura is another name for a horse. Nri Tura. Turaga. I mean, Turanga. That's the horse. Swift, because they go fast. And then he returned them to Lord Brahma. So we offer here. Offering obeisance to you, Avahita Ihitaya, whose resolution never fails. That's how it goes. Ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Vasatala. The Supreme Lord and his form of High Griever retrieved the Vedas, returned to the Lord Brahma when he begged for them. From my respectful base, the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. So this last one is separate. It just illustrates this demon named ignorance stealing Vedic knowledge. So Prabhupada remarked, well, you kind of see how this fits into the other prayers, which are about people being ignorant. They kind of have that theme there. So Prabhupada. Although the Vedic knowledge is imperishable within this material world, is sometimes manifest, sometimes not. When they become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Aigrivo or Matsa protect the Vedic knowledge and it's distributed again to the medium of Brahma. And Prabhupada's thinking here, and he often mentions meaning the Brahma Sampradaya, meaning us. He's the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. that's what he says. So we got. So any questions about these prayers? This is the easy part, huh? No weird things. We're all at home in prayers to the Lord. Then, now we go around in Hari Varshap. We loop down. If you have the picture, you know, you go around the inner varshas, then go up and then down again. You don't have that one, are you sure? Yeah. Huh? Here's another one. Somebody show that one. Why don't you give me yours? We'll put you out of there. Here. You take this one. We'll give you. You can keep one, or we'll. You keep that one. See that shows the sequence of prayers how you do it in this way. So in the land known as Hari Varsha, that's just to the south of Ilavika Varsha. By the way, when they list, everywhere they list the names of the kings of Anidra, the name of this son, I mean the names of the kings of the sons of Anidra, this son's name is always listed as Hari Varsha. Not Hari, but Hari Varsha. The others have the names of the sons with Varsha tacked on, but when it lists the names, it says Hari Varsha is his name. I don't know why. That's in Sanskrit.
It's Hari Varsha.
Yes, like Hari Varsha Varsha. Anyway. So in this one, the Lord appears as Narahari Rupa, the Sringa Dev. And here, let's go down. Lord Nisringadev resides in the tract known as Hari Varsha. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is cute here, of course. He just says, Nisringadev goes home and says, later. So Prabhupada says, seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Presumably at this time, it wasn't divided into cantos and so Anyway, the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you, and he says later, I shall describe to you, Uttaratra, means later on, I shall describe to you the how the Lord appeared to Prahlad. He calls him Daitam Rupam, the most pleasing form of the Lord. Isn't that nice? Daitam, this pleasing form of the Lord. How, as he said, Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nisringadev. Then Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demonic family. Lord Nisringadev is very, so all the demons were delivered. It's Daitya Danava Kula, all delivered. He's very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and the denizens of Hari Varsha, worship Lord Nisringadev by chanting the following mantra. And so here he mentions Jayadev's song, which we sing all the time. Prabhupada here makes the point how Keshava refers to Krishna and how Jayadev always
make sure that you understand that all of these incarnations are forms of Keshava, are Krishna forms. Then here's this Upanishadic mantra, which is long. I think. Huh? You know this one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great one. So let's chant. I'll break it up. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namaste Jaste Jase.
Namaste Jaste Jase.
Adir Adir Bhava.
Adir Adir Bhava.
Vajra Naka Vajra Damstra.
Vajra Naka Vajra Damstra.
Parmashaya Nandaya Randaya.
Parmashaya Nandaya Randaya.
Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha.
Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha.
Abhayam Abhayam Atmani.
Abhayam Abhayam Atmani.
Bhuyishta Om Shaum.
Bhuyishta Om Shaum.
That's really a wonderful one. So this is a really a nice one. So in all of these in this section, they start Om Namo Bhagavate, then something. The really far out one is the next one. to Lakshmi to Vajraya. Om Ram Rim Om Namo. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
So here, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, and then Namastejas Tejase, the power of all powers. There's a lot of repetition in this mantra, and Prabhupada remarks earlier in Bhagavatam that repetition indicates great feeling. When they say Suta Suta Mahabhava, the sages never, they say Suta Suta Mahabhava, you know, they are expressing. So here it is, Tejas Tejase, the power of all power, and then Adhir Adhir Baba, be manifest, be fully manifest. And then he's called Vajra Naka, Vajra Damsta, Vajra, usually thunderbolt, also diamond, but you know, there's Vajrayana Buddhism, what's it called? Vajrayana. Yeah, Roger, strong teeth, right? Here it is. Here it is. So his claws, naka, are like thunderbolts, lightning bolts, and damstra, his fangs, are like lightning bolts, right? So his strength. And then randaya, is again the repetition is there. Vanquish, karmashayan. This is a word that shows up often in Bhagavatam as the knot in the heart. The ashaya means a very strong desire or urge, a longing, you know, for karma, fruitive work in the world. So with appear, kindly appear. With your power and your all these things, and kick out karmashayan and grasa, drive away tama, ignorance, and then Om Swaha, right? And then abhyam atmani buhishta, may you appear in my mind and grant me abhyam fearlessness in this world. And then Om, and then Kshaum is a bija mantra from the Srinidev, particularly. That's this prayer. The bija or seed of mantras offering prayers in the Srinidev, that's his bija mantra. And Prabhupada is quite a wonderful purport here. Here, first he quotes this verse from Sanat Kamar, where Karmashayan Grantitam Udgrantayanti Santaha. The knot in the heart is here described as Karmashayan. Devotees can become free from this Karmashayan, where
others that whatever they do, they can't make it. The jnanis and the yogis and so on. And then Prabhupada says, every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this person, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruited desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. And then he quotes Rupa Goswami. In other words, the path of pure devotional service is actually the path of trying to become free from all these desires, karma, gana, and so on. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, known as tamo, grasa, and prapas, one cannot fully engage in devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nisringadeva. And he makes a statement, always offer our prayers. It's going to come up again in the purport to the next verse. We should always offer our prayers to Lord Nisringadeva, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desires. In other words, we're asking Atmanyatni, appear in my heart. So who is in our heart? Our material desires, and who personifies them? The Sringadeva. Hiranyakashipu, obviously. Yeah, Hiranyakashipu. So we're asking the Sringadeva to appear and destroy the Hiranyakashipu in our hearts. Hiranya means gold, Kashipu, soft cushion of bed. People want these two things, bodily comfort and gold. Hiranyakashipu is the perfect representative of materialistic life. So then Prabhupada again says, any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nisringadeva, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Now the next verse, this is also really a beautiful verse. Swastiastu vishvasya kala prasivitam dayantu bhutani shivam mito udhya malasya badram bhajitata roksaje aveshatam no matyarapyarayatuki. This verse has a structure, but it says, first of all, swastiastu vishvasya, may the whole world, astu, may there be swasti. in the auspiciousness in the whole world. Kala prasidatam, and may all those, kala means envious persons, become pacified. Dayantu bhutani shivam mito dhya, and may now may all living entities, bhutani, well, really, shivam mitodhya, may they think well of each other. Mita means mutual. Their intelligence should be such that they shivam, they wish each other well. May all living entities wish each other, learn to wish each other well. Then manastubhadram, may our mind become badra. You notice here, swasti, shivam, and badram are all different words for auspicious. So may our minds become badram. Prabhupada here says in the word for word, calmness of mind. Bhajata, let it experience calmness. And how does this do this? Adhoksuje aveshutam no matir api ahaituki. Because our intelligence, mati, is absorbed, let it be absorbed, it's a prayer, let it be absorbed, our intelligence is absorbed, ahaituki, causelessly, without any need, in the transcendent Lord. This is this prayer. May there be all good fortune throughout the years for Sastri Vishvasha, Pasidatam. May all entities be pacified. May all entities become calm by practicing Bhakti or Manastabhadram. That's a term. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Shivam Yutodhya. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. And then, Prabhupada has a wonderful purport here. First, like he's describing Prahlad, because Prahlad prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous, meaning his father. So, he has this. So he's praying for everyone now. He's asking another Sringadeva for everyone. May all the envious. I should point out when I was discussing this verse some time ago with Gopi Pranadana, he says it has a structure. Swastyastu Vishvasya, the universe. And then it goes all living entities, and then the mind. It kind of goes from down. But then there's Kala Prasidatam, the envious. But notice how Prabhupada says in the Kala, the envious, and then he says, almost everyone. So you knew you have this structure where you go to the whole universe, the envious, all living entities, then you come in down to our own minds. Right? You just focus down this way on this verse. And so the envious people be pacified. This material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manastabhadram bhajatadrokshajain. Therefore, we should. So, this is now we're going back to the previous verse also. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nisringadeva to sit in our hearts. We should pray, but you're Nisringadeva, which we do. And for what are we praying? Let Lord Nisringadeva sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. And this is this verse. So this by here, Hridaye Nisringa, the Lord is in my heart. We are actually praying for Him to be manifest in my heart. And doing what? Killing the Hiranyakashipu inside. You know, that's doing all these bad things.
And grasa, grasa.
Hmm?
Grasa,
grasa. Yeah, that's right. Kill, chop. Yeah, that's the Sringa Kavacha
Mantra. The point being that you can't change anything unless you change yourself first.
That's right. You want to save the world? Start here.
Yeah.
See, all these. You notice how many people have schemes to save the world, and how they all fail, because they don't start in the right place. Yeah. That part of material nature. What is our environment? Our environment. That part of material nature that's the closest to it is our own mind. That's where you got to start with. And that's a mess. And how are you going to clean up anything else, the rest of the environment, if you don't deal with this one? I want to turn this off for a second. I'll find something while we're talking. So this is what we need to do is take care of our own mentality. So this is one of these places where Prabhupada really gives us important directions. And it also is, he says in the beginning very uncompromisingly, we have to be free from all material desires and so on. You know, I mean, that's really heavy duty. He just doesn't pull back from this... From this statement. So how do we do that? And here's the answer, because our material desires are like Hiranyakashipu, you know, big and strong and tougher than we are. So, but if Nishrimadeva appears in our heart, he can take care of him. Right? That's how it has to happen. That's why we're being instructed by Prabhupada here to pray for Nishrimadeva, as he can do it. And then if the question comes, why doesn't he do it? We should look at how we're praying. I mentioned before, you know, get rid of all my material desires, but not this one. Or get rid of all my material desires, but in 10 years, something like that. One really at least has to, you know, mark them for destruction, you know, like the woodsman goes and puts his X's on the trees, you know, get up. So that's something we have to learn how to do. Now, just to reinforce this, Prabhupada says here, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. He liked this purport. This is a very fine purport. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure Nishkama devotees pray for some benediction. This is a good point, because sometimes devotees think that it's wrong to ask anything. But here it says one always requests some benediction from him. Always. Even the Hare Krishna mantra, the meaning of it, as Prabhupada gave it to us, is please engage me in your service. And the corollary to that is, and the mood of this verse is, please disengage me from whatever is blocking me being engaged in the service. That's also the meaning. Right? So he points out here, Mahaprabhu in the Shishastika, he asks for a benediction. He nanda tanuju kinkaram patita mamrisha devapapu kripaya tavapara pankajasti. He's asking, you know, with some urgency, to pick me up. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, so he's back at the previous verse, he prays for the benediction from the Lord, but because he is an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desired expression in his prayer is Swastyastu Vishvasya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire world. So here's the whole program of Krishna consciousness. Let me become pure so that I can purify the world. And that's also there. I mean, he starts with let the whole world become fortunate, but ultimately it comes down also to it comes down to us. Prabhupada says here, if the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Everyone is envious of others in material activities, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. So he makes this... Anyway, this is a quite wonderful prayer. Then Prabhupada ends with this comment. This is very nice. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. So just in case that's your worry, yeah?
It was something that came up repeatedly when Prabhupada met the press.
and he would explain to them the basics of Krishna consciousness, and then they would inevitably say, well, what will happen to the world if everybody...
That's right.
...you're lucky in life?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say, don't worry, not everybody.
That's right. I did a translation of this that's a little different because I was in 2002 in Washington D.C. at the Washington National Cathedral. There was a memorial service. It was September 11th. It was the first anniversary of the World Trade Center thing, and also the Pentagon. So Washington, you know, a lot of people were affected by that personally, and so they decided to do this memorial service in the Washington National Cathedral. The United States does not have a state religion, but in some ways it would like to, and so they built this huge cathedral, the Washington National Cathedral, to use for kind of state occasions. It's the closest people can get to Westminster Abbey. See, the American, especially the American upper class, is very Anglophile. They want to be British as much as possible. It's actually an Episcopal church. That means the Anglican church without the Queen at the head. And it's a high church. I mean, it's almost like Catholic in all their ceremonies, you know, what they call high church, you know, lots of incense and all that kind of stuff in big ways. So they use it for state occasions. So this was a state occasion. Anyway, so they decided at the Washington National Cathedral that this had to be an interfaith service, memorial service. And so they were making plans for it. And meanwhile, I got a phone call. I was in Hawaii at the time, actually. I was doing some GBC duties, and I got a phone call from Rukmini, Anutama's wife, and she's involved in the National Cathedral with some women's groups and stuff like that. And people planning this event asked her if she knew of somebody who could represent Hinduism. So she says, yeah, I got just the person. And then she called me up and said, you know, would you come? And they want somebody to represent. You have to read a scripture and give a prayer. Because all these different people are going to get up and do this. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I thought of this Swastiyastu Vishvasya Kalapas immediately as the perfect scripture reading to give, you know. And so I said to her, well, one thing is, you know, if I represent Hinduism, you know, I have a white body, you know, maybe if I come as the representative of Hinduism, they'll be upset. Because this is Washington, D.C., the Indian embassy will be there, all these people. So she says, okay, I'll check on it and get back to you. And then she got back to me the next day and said, yeah, they said it's no problem. You can represent Hinduism. And then I thought, maybe that's when I thought of this prayer, because it begins swasti. Everybody, now the Indian don't understand swasti. And then she told you, you'll go up to the front. Everybody will come into the procession, and one after another, you'll go up, and you'll first say a scripture reading. And then a little on a short prayer.
I have a picture of this procession on my computer. I have a picture of you and the procession coming in.
Yeah, they had it on their website and everything. They even had a video for a while. So I said to her, look, can I say it in Sanskrit? I said, I want to say the prayer in Sanskrit, and then tell them I want to do that. And then their bulletin, you know, the hand, I wanted in Sanskrit too. Plus, and then, when I looked at it in Prabhupada's translation, I saw that for this kind of state occasion, I needed to translate it in a slightly different way. So I'll show you the translation I used. for this. Here it is. And I kind of use that kind of language they like, right? So here it is. And this is what was in the bulletin. And then, may the entire universe be blessed with peace and hope. That's swastasya visvashya. Astu visvashya. May everyone driven by envy and enmity become pacified and reconciled. In fact, the main speaker was, it turned out, was Desmond Tutu from South Africa, who was in charge of the Truth and Reconciliation. To become pacified and reconciled. May all living beings develop abiding concern for the welfare of others. Dayantu Bhutanam Shivam Nityodiyo. May all these... And then I added this, because it's the way Prabhupada actually translates it. May all these blessings flow naturally from this supreme benediction. May our attention become spontaneously absorbed in the rapture of pure love into the transcendent Lord. So that's what I read. And it was... We were way up high. They had this big platform, and everybody proceeded and sat down. And then they had a, you know, you get up to this kind of big pulpit to say a thing. I was the first one to go. I didn't plan. And I looked down, and there was like, you know, half the Bush administration was there. The guy who was the yeah, it was televised, and they had it on their website, and you know, it was like a whole big thing. And I also noticed it was really echoey, so I read this really, I did this very slow because of the sound of there. A lot of people who got up after me, they spoke really quickly, and a lot of them had foreign accents, and you couldn't hear them. This was really clear. So it was really just like there was Madeleine Albright and there. The guy who was in charge of the Justice Department, what's his name, that Attorney General. I came back, I met him. His name just went out of my head. Anyway, John Ashcroft, who is a Assemblies of God Evangelical Christian. He came back to the room where we were all putting, you know, getting our robes on and everything, all robing up. And Ashcroft came in, and I thought, well, I'll just blow his mind, you know, and I went up and shook hands with him. And I was dressed, you know, I had a Harinam Chatter and a silk dhoti and all that stuff, you know, D-Luck. I was going to give him my card, and then I thought, no, you know, I don't want him to know my name. He's not there anymore for that, which is nice. But anyway, and then also then I did this prayer again, because I looked to my right and I saw the whole section. You know, the Indian embassy was sitting there. So then the prayer later on, the Vedas proclaim Ishvashyamidam Sarvam. Sure, like I said, they wouldn't have any quarrel with it. You know, you quote the Ishvapadashad. You know. So I gave that little, and then at the end I said Hare Krishna. So that was fun. So I really put this prayer, and a lot of people asked me for this verse, you know, afterwards. They said, what? They thought it was so good. And but that's a little adventure with this part of the Bhagavatam. So all this happens in Hari Varsha. This Prahlad's prayer to Mishringadev. So now we get into very typical Prahlad Maharaj verses about the evils of sense gratification, you know. My dear Lord, we pray that we never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. That's what it says. Agara, Tara, Atmaja, Vitta, Bandhushu, friends and relatives, Sangha, and so on.
If you read that one out in Washington.
A person who is actually self-realized, who's controlled his mind, is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. Pranavritta. It means like just what you need to stay alive. Pranavritta. Parityushta. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness. Siddhiti Adura. He very soon becomes successful, but not those who are Indriya Priya, attached to their senses. And Prabhupada, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, he immediately said, Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Achara. First business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees and persons who are too attached to material things. Of course, all this really follows from the first prayer to the Trinity. You know, it's quite consistent with this.
That's nice. Why should the menu be unnecessarily?
This is funny, yeah. Why should the menu be necessary for the satisfaction of the tongue? Devotees should eat as simply as possible. And then another verse along the same. Then the other side, by associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda is all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them one immediately associates with the Lord. Prabhupada really expands this structure. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibrations, enters in the heart and cleanses it of all contaminations. By the ears he enters and vanquishes these infections. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contamination and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the same man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? So this is also a very nice prayer. And then,
I have a question then. Just like the word Tirtha is in the verse, but yeah. Prabhupada puts holy places such as the Ganges.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he opens his purport by speaking about bathing in the Ganges.
Yeah, that's true.
Does he get that? That lead of, you know, talking about the Ganges, is that coming from the previous acharyas?
Yeah, often it is. I can't tell in this particular case. I didn't look at it. But usually, acharyas take one word and they comment on it. So they'll say Tirtha, and they'll say something like Ganga Adi, the Ganga, and so on. And then he'll just go off on that.
It's some proper plain text out of his
own. Yeah. And just he uses it. Because particularly in the purport, Prabhupada talks about, many times we all know that people bathe in the Ganges to become, but really it doesn't say the Ganga, it just says Tirthas. And he says in the word for word, Tirtha, you see it's Tirtha, holy places like the Ganges. So anytime Prabhupada gives a lot of times Prabhupada's translations are purportful. Mm-hmm. He expands a little bit, he makes it clearer. But if you want to know what he's done, he's got the word for word. I think he can get away with it in some ways because the word is there, so it's quite transparent when he does that. Mm-hmm. It allows Prabhupada to give, and so many times, you know, he's got five commentators, six commentators, and they'll give different things. And sometimes Prabhupada will quote one in the word for word, and one in the running translation, and stick a few more in the purport. So you can get all kinds of things from there. So this verse is about the superiority here of associating with devotees for this purification. And of course, Prabhupada talks about the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. He quotes Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu and so on. And there's a verse that's very famous, also it comes from this section. Yashyasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchana sarvarigunas tattva samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadina adorate nasi bhavato nabi. Prabhupada quotes it so many times. They want to see you, Yashyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. In those in whom there is pure devotional service, we're going to about lose our power soon, huh? Harao abhaktasya. When there is harao abhaktasya, when there is abhaktasya, no devotion to Hari.
The world is suffering.
What?
The world is already lost.
Harao.
Harao means harao.
All is already shut down.
I don't understand what
you're
saying. Harav Abhaktasya, that's what it says in Devanagari. Yeah, va, because of sandhi. Because of sandhi. The word is harav, and so that u becomes va. Harav Abhaktasya. So that's, but in the word for word, you see here, harao, he takes the sandhi out, abhaktasya.
They're pointing at the screen, but.
What?
They're pointing
at the screen. Oh, I'm pointing at the screen. Okay. Here is harao, right here, and here is abhaktasya. Huh?
Yeah.
In Devanagari says harava bhaktasya. Right? Just right here. Harava bhaktasya. That's what it says.
Oh.
We just lost power. So it means those who are not devoted to the Lord, kutra mahat guna, what good great qualities, where are their great qualities, or the implication is what uses their good qualities, you know, if it doesn't go anywhere because they're just running around on the manorata, the chariot of the mind. And running outside. What's the matter?
I just sort of thought that it was hot.
Is it hot or something?
Yeah, it is. Sorry, keep going. Don't mind me.
Why did that go off and the lights? I mean, what?
They're on a different battery. The lights are on a separate battery,
oh, I see.
And the outlets are on the little.
And then here, in the purport, Prabhupada lists the 26 qualities of the devotee. of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the 12th one. Is the essential one. Always surrender to Krishna. If this is there and the others are not present, he still should be considered a sadhu. Because it may be. Because in discussing, in Harinam Chintamani, in discussing offenses, blaspheming devotees, that what is, it comes up, what is the Sanskrit for that? How does it go? I forgot how it goes in Sanskrit. But anyway, what is a devotee? What is a sadhu? And you say, well, here, someone who has these 26 qualities. And he says, no, it really means that the essential quality is one who is surrendered to Krishna. It may be that if that's there, other qualities have not yet developed because of something from the past. But if he has this Krishnaika Sharanam, has exclusively surrendered to Krishna, then he's to be considered a sadhu. That's the essential one. That really sadhu ninda. The blasphemy devotees is called in Sanskrit sadhu ninda. What is a sadhu? So this is what he says, that quality is there.
Results
the same thing. Yeah. Huh? The
same thing.
Who says the same thing? The Gita, yeah. So then he goes on. Well, since you don't have any illumination right now. Any other questions on this so far? We'll finish these prayers and keep on going around on this one. The next one is very far out. In Ketu Mala Varsha, Lakshmi Day, leading the prayers to Kama Day, there's a very, very far out prayers there. A really, really wonderful Upanishad mantra.
I once was with Prabhupada in Vrindavan. We were just talking in the room. He quoted something from Prahlad Maharaj. And I just had a kind of a thought, so I told him, I said that it seems to me that Prahlad Maharaj must be your favorite personality in the whole banquet now. Because you always seem to be in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada just smiled like anything. He didn't say yes, but you know, he liked it. He liked the compliment. It was kind of it was a group confirming it. Very often he quoted Prahlad.
Yeah, he really, yeah. Yeah, we've seen that so many times. Yeah. Because that thing you can see here also, you know, this mood of saving the whole world, you know, and caring for the welfare of others. Yeah, I heard Prabhupada gave a lecture on this Paradupa Duki once in New York. I heard him talking about this, about Prahlad being a Vaishnava in this regard. It was wonderful. Yeah?
It's not related.
That's okay.
If you just mentioned, I didn't necessarily understood that properly, but you were mentioning Chaturvyuha, and then mentioning the direction, north, south, east, and west.
Yeah.
Are they related?
No.
No.
No. They're related in this way. We read a commentary, a purport in which Prabhupada cites the Lago Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in which there he quotes a passage that says there's one of those expansions in each of the in four directions of the universe, and Prabhupada just quotes it. And says there are in four directions, but to know about that, we need a little more information. You just can't tell from where they are. He mentions that Pradyumna is in Dwarkapuri, one's on Swetadweep, then he says they're above Satchaloka, Sankarshan, remember? So that's just mentioned that these four are in the four directions. All in, he says there's a Vaikuntha planet that's filled with water, in which one resides.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. You'd like to read it? I wrote it down.
Yeah? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so for Vasudeva to know the consciousness, resides in Vaikuntha Loka and the material world, which is just there's a planet powered by water.
Mm-hmm.
Then therefore Sankarshan is Lord of Force Shiva, integration, disintegration, resides in Vishnu Loka, above Satya Loka. Mm-hmm. For Pradyumna, which is a world of intelligence, Force Shiva and Heaven, resides in Dwarka. And for Aniruddha, is Lord of Mind, which is Force Shiva and Goodness, resides in Shvetadvipa, the ocean of milk.
Yeah, that's where he says this. Which he's the Lord, he put that in from the top, but that's what the quotation says. Yeah. I keep forgetting where these things were, because it's not in this chapter, but I had a link to it somewhere. Where?
This four you mentioned, this is 5, 17, 14. The chapter you 5, 17, 14.
Okay.
Location of four.
5, 17, 14. Yeah, that's where I was. Let me go back. Yeah. 14. We talked to the but yeah, here it is. It is in this chapter. It is in this 5:17:14. It's in the purport to 5:17:14. That's right. And there's a long problem. In this regard, Prabhupada says the following quotation appears in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. The little. There's a Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and then there's a Lagu. Huh? Lagu means little. The little one. And that's where it says. In the Padma Purana, so then this Lagu Bhagavatamrita is quoting Padma Purana. It is said that in the spiritual world, the Lord personally expands in all directions. There it says, all directions, and is worshipped as Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. The same God is represented by the deity in the material world, which is only one quarter of his creation. Then it says, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Parjumna, and Nariruna are also present in the four directions of this material world. Then it says, there is a Vaikuntha Loka covered with water in this material world. And on that place, on that planet, is a place called Vedavati, where Vasudeva is located. Where that planet is. And this, so this has four directions, you know. Another planet known as Vishnu Loka is situated above Satyaloka, and there Shankarshan is present, similarly in Dwarka Puri, which I assume is the one on this planet. Pradyumna is the predominator. On the island known as Svetadvipa, there is an ocean of milk, and in the midst of that ocean is a place called Airavati Pura, where Aniruddha lies on Ananda. That's the quotation. You know, in the future, what we will do is to check this out. Let's go look at the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Do a careful, you know, word for word translation of this. Check the Padma Purana and find out more details about where they are and what they're doing. So much of this stuff is really a program for future research, and there's just lots of it. Everywhere you turn around, there's something more to be done to check it out or figure it out.
Also, the deities mentioned in the ninth.
Yeah, then other Puranas give different Varshas or give different deities in the Varshas. In that case, we will always prefer the Bhagavata Purana. But it's a fact there are different accounts of different. On the other hand, you're dealing with texts that cover many creations, and so it doesn't have to be the same every time. Every time there's a creation, there's always variations. So it's not exactly stamped out like out of the machine.
Could also be in another universe.
Huh?
Could also be in another universe.
Yeah, that also. But every time there's a change of manu, many things change. There's a different manu. Manu has to produce different sons. The different sons have different. I don't even know if it's the same number of ring islands every manu. A manu is 72 yuga cycles. Is that right? Yeah. And then after each manu, there's a partial devastation. Prabhupada somewhere he has a big discussion about this because some say yes and some say no. But anything else for now? Yeah?
Regarding this universal impulse in Gomandas, all the Gomandas are all the same structures?
All the Gomandas?
And
all these, no, because this universe we have a Brahma with four heads, and it's the smallest universe. Other Brahmas have many, many heads. It may be that four heads because there are four directions. Some places said that he has four heads because he looked in four directions. So what happens when there's 100 heads? Maybe you have, you know, here we have three-dimensional space which has four directions, and maybe you have more complicated geometries of multi-dimensional space in the different universes. I have no idea. But there are many, many Brahmas. They have different numbers of heads. This is the smallest. Actually, you just need many dimensions to fit all those heads on the one neck.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. You ever see these people where they try to depict, you know? Foreheads, you can kind of do it, but after that, it gets. I don't know, you see these depictions of many-headed Brahmas, they got them up in a pyramid or something like that, big circles and stuff like that. Yeah. Have to string them out, yeah.
And then they have this a piece.
Huh?
This a piece on them.
They can manifest as 10 heads all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they only have 1 head depending on what they're going to do.
Yeah, and it's not just a metaphor for being very intelligent. He had 10 heads. So how do you manage? And also, you know, 10 armed deities and so on. How do you manage? It seems to me you just have to have more than 3 dimensions. And so that if you see, you know, see Durga or Kali with 10 arms, you know, it's almost like what you see is impossible. Because you see 10 arms attached to 2 shoulders, 5 to each shoulder. You know, how do they all feel? You don't know, but they're there, they're this way, you know, somehow. That's how it looks. You know, I mean, we just don't know anything. I like it in this discussion. By the way, remember we had this. We were talking about this discussion in Vrindavan in June of 77. When Prabhupada said, "Were you there? You weren't there?"
Not in June. No.
Yeah,
I was there part of June 77.
Yeah, he was showing. They were showing him drawings.
I just like before.
They're showing Prabhupada drawings and everything like that, and they were talking about. They're trying to figure out. Tamal is really talking about how could you go around the world? You head west and you come back, you know. At one point, Prabhupada says that. Who says that Bharatvarsh is flat? And so we have a flat circle. He said, "Who says it's flat? It's not a ball, but it's not flat." And he talks about a lotus leaf, and then asking, "Well, where is there a lotus leaf in Bhagavatam?" But let me just—we have some lotus pictures here. Let me just show you what kind of service it could be. Oh, I can't show you; it's everything's off. Anyway. Some of the lotus leaves, they kind of flatten in the end and they curl up in the middle and then flatten out of that. So you have a curvature like this. It's like a I don't know what to call that. Yeah, it's concave.
Prabhupada talked to Mal, he said, "You have prejudice."
That's right, he said, we read that. We read through this whole thing, "You have prejudice." Yeah. He said, "You're Western." He said. Yes?
Then he mentioned, like, what was the argument for those, like, pictures from satellite? It looks like a sphere.
A sphere, yeah. That's what it looks like from satellites. If they're really pictures of real satellites, I mean, like you know, now everybody can go on Google Maps and you can look at it. So obviously, that's what it looks like to us. But what it looks like to us, maybe not what it is.
Yeah. I have a bunch of these. Photos, optical illusions on my hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at a thing and you know, you observe carefully, and this is what it looks like. And then you read the explanation and you can compare, and it's completely different. Like you have a number of lines that are not parallel.
Yeah.
And then, but they are parallel, but to our eyes,
it's the matrix.
Yeah.
We're in the matrix. Nothing like that. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.